Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm your host, Chris Stainis, and I'm also the founder of Women of Wisdom Foundation in Seattle, Washington. We're having our 28th annual WOW Conference in Seattle, February 14th through the 16th. It's held at UW Tower in the University District. It's a new venue for us to share. Our theme is Radiate Loving Harmony, Unite Our World. We have some special guests this year, including the well-known author Jean Shinoda Bolen and also Sarah Beek and many others. You can read about it on the schedule at womenofwisdom.org. And today, my guest is one of our workshop presenters, Colleen Haggerty. Colleen is a coach to leaders and women who want to thrive in their third act of life. She is the author of numerous published essays and her memoir, A Leg to Stand On. As an inspirational speaker, she shared her story of forgiveness at TEDx Bellingham. Colleen is a soul collage facilitator and trainer living in Bellingham, Washington. And you can read about her on her website, ColleenHaggerty.com. So welcome, Colleen.
Thank you, Chris. So nice to be here.
Yes, well, glad to have you back. This is your third year being a presenter at the conference. And then one of the things that you always do, no matter what your theme is collage work, because that's one of your, you know, you do this soul collage facilitation. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk a little bit about that, the value that collage brings to you and those you teach.
Sure. Well, you know, I have found that collage is a really powerful but super accessible, easy modality. It's a tool for anyone, regardless of how they see themselves as an artist. And it's using imagery, and it's using people's right brains. So they're able to access a different dimension of their heart in using collage, and even, I think, a different dimension of their intellect, even a different dimension of their left brain, which I just love. And when I facilitate collage, I really encourage folks to leave words out in the collages I facilitate, and to just use images, you know, because we say that a picture is worth 1,000 words. So to use an image means that we can keep exploring that image's message outside the confines of language's finite meanings. And I also think that collage is such a wonderful metaphor for life, you know, because I see life as made up of similar parts and disparate parts. Sometimes they're elegantly woven together, and sometimes it seems like they're just randomly thrown together in some kind of hodgepodge. But either way, I think there is some kind of conformity to these various parts coming together. And I think this is true on a macro level in our life and a micro level, even from our culture to our own bodies. So really, when we use collage, we're tapping into all these various parts of self and many times the hidden parts of self. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's that intuitive part. And so I like the idea that you don't use words. I sometimes make, not only say soul collage, but collage boards, dream boards, and I like putting words on, but I understand in your purpose of just totally going with your intuition and your subconscious speaking to you. It's interesting to look at what you've done after the fact. You don't know what you're doing in the moment, and you look at it later. And I know you probably share it in the workshop. Everybody shares that with each other, and other people can reflect and see something in it that reveals something to you about yourself as well. So, I know people love to take something home as a remembrance of the conference, of the work you've done, the ahas you've had, and so that's always something that people really enjoy, and it really adds value to have that piece of art. And it it's not about being an artist at all. It's and I think I don't know if you were saying this, but I kind of feel like too, you tap into the collective consciousness, so you may find some group energy there happening. Has that occurred, like people, you know, similar themes come up in the collage boards?
Oh, absolutely. I think There's a couple of ways to do that with connecting with the collective unconscious. One is that, yes, it's really uncanny sometimes when people have similar elements in their collages. And I provide just such a vast array of images. So it's not that I'm leading that as the facilitator, but what people see, just these similarities. And also tapping into the collective unconscious of archetypes, that we can really, like you say, create something intuitively. We don't even understand what we're creating until we spend time with it. And the way I do collages, I really encourage people to talk with their collage and have their collage speak back to them, so that that collage, a part of ourselves actually, is giving our innate wisdom back to us.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned archetypes. Now, I think your workshop is on Sunday afternoon. Am I correct? I don't have the schedule in front of me. So that's perfect, because that is after Jean Bowman's workshop, and she's all about archetypes.
Yes, she is. I just love that.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about the workshop. What is it called? Meet Your Future Self, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. It's an interesting topic interesting concept to think about. You know, we think about today and our past, but the fact that you could meet, create, intend your future self. So I'd love for you to share your thoughts on that and what it means for you and why you're doing this workshop on that topic.
Mm-hmm. You know, I read the book One years and years ago. I was in my 20s by Richard Bach. And a few years ago, I was talking to a woman about past lives, but she was like, you know, actually, all lives, they're not past, they're all happening at the same time, which is kind of the premise of One. And I love that idea. But taken just to this lifetime level, I believe that we're living our past and our current and our future selves all at once, so to speak. Our past informs our present, and our present is informing our future self. And I believe when we're really living authentically, you know, we know who we need to become. And sometimes our present, you know, the challenges and our struggles, even our joys, can cloud our vision of our future. So my intention in this workshop is for people to take time to be intentional about who they are becoming. So in the workshop, I am going to have folks do some meditation, guided meditation, some writing, and then collaging of mirrors. And in this way, they're going to meet and connect with their future self, but also have a conversation with that future self and set an intention so that they can walk in their future self's footsteps, so to speak, so that they can meet her when they get there. And I do love that it's at the end of the conference. I think that's just going to be such an elegant punctuation point for people to meditate on what they learned and how they want to incorporate that weekend into their future. So I think it's going to be really a beautiful ending for some folks.
Yes, I think we had that in mind when we scheduled it. It is, and I love what you're describing and the idea of your, you know, visualizing your future self, and it's almost like bringing the future to the present, because then you could step into those shoes a lot faster. You know, like, you can be it now.
Yes.
Why wait? You know, we tend to wait till things are perfect, till things are ready and everything's, you know, all lined up, and that's, you know, that's not true. It can be, you'll never get there if you wait till you're perfect, or you know, it doesn't work.
It's such an illusion, isn't it? Right, that we don't need that, and it's really just a block.
Yeah, and you talk about, you know, that self-doubt and worry and our limitations we put on ourselves, because our concept of ourselves is almost what we think people project on us, is that's who we are, when, hey, it goes with our theme, radiate loving harmony, radiate, you know, coming from within and taking it out there and showing the world who you are, not not waiting for the world to show you who you are. We'd wait forever, you know, for that future self if we had to get that reflection back from, well, we do get the reflection back, but for others to, you know, so much we, I don't know what I'm trying to say. It seems like so many times you look at yourself as you think others look at you, and then you're really you're judging yourself on an illusion. You're judging yourself on things other people aren't even thinking, probably.
Right. Maybe your assumptions of what they're thinking.
Uh-huh.
Well, and I think that in our culture, you know, I'm one to buy the next How to Better Myself book, just like the next person. But we are not taught from a very early age how to look within and how to trust ourselves, our wisdom, our intuition. And we are constantly looking outside of ourselves for validation, for answers, for judgment. I remember when I was pregnant and, you know, I was reading What to Expect When You're Expecting, and I kept jumping ahead, and then I would buy, you know, I had like 10 books. And I looked at this and I thought, wait a second, you know, 100 years ago, they didn't have one book on how to be pregnant and how to have a baby. For all these millennia, women, we know how to do this. So I just put the books away. And it was like, I don't need to read about this. I need to let my body do this. And that was really a turning point for me in understanding that my body itself and my heart, they are my biggest teachers and my way forward, more than looking outside myself. Yeah.
Yes, that's so true. Yeah, I love it. And that that you bring in this image of the mirror, because it goes with our theme, you know, radiate loving harmony. We actually may have some mirrors. We're talking about that. Have some mirrors around for people to reflect on themselves, if we can pull that off. So let's talk about how you feel your workshop aligns with our theme, radiate loving harmony and unite our world.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think 9/11 was a real turning point for me. Afterwards, I remember just the silence of no airplanes in the air, and it just was this pause, it felt like, in the world. And I just felt so desperate for the world to be a better place, and I really felt alone and helpless and lost. And I felt like a lot of people, you know, that I came across felt like that too. Everything just felt big and so outside my scope of any kind of capability. And it's not like 9/11 is the first time, and it probably won't be the last, that civilization turns on itself. But for me, it was that turning point. And I was pondering that question. I didn't use the words, you know, radiate loving energy, but that was what I was thinking. How do I do that? And I really wanted to. And it really became clear to me that there wasn't any way I could radiate anything if I didn't have it inside. And since then, I was on that journey to find the harmony within so I could radiate it. And prior to 9/11, I was doing, you know, lots of self-exploration and spiritual exploration. But it wasn't until 9/11 that exploration had a bigger purpose, a purpose outside myself, not just to know myself, but to have an impact on the world. And one of the modalities I discovered in that time, and I've since become very passionate about, is soul collage, which is a process, it's a tool, and it's a structure of creating cards that are collaged. They're like 5x7 cards, and each card is a visual representation of a very singular energy of self, just one aspect of the self. And the assumption with soul collage is that each part of ourself, even the parts that we consider negative or shadowed, has something to teach us. So some people liken it to a personal tarot deck, and I suppose it could be loosely looked at that way, but what I love about Soul Collage is that it not only allows us to really see and speak our inner wisdom, but then the cards encourage us to actually act from that wisdom. And, you know, Soul Collage and any of the other tools that I've learned over the years has allowed me to find on a pretty consistent basis, not all the time, that harmony that I feel like I can try and radiate, you know? And, I might be a small person on this big, huge planet, but I know I'm powerful, small but powerful. And when I join with others who are finding their harmony and we radiate together, then that's really how change happens, I believe. And that's what I love about the conference, is that all these women are coming together and the energy just builds over the weekend. Because we're not just looking at our own growth. We're really raising the energy for the good of the planet and the people on it, which is just what I love so much about it. So the workshop is really to support these people to find some of their own inner wisdom. You know, it might be a shy piece of themselves that's hiding in some corner, waiting for permission. It might be a part that's been screaming at them, but, you know, maybe it's been ignored. So I'm really hoping to offer women a chance to see their inner wisdom reflected back to themselves so that they can then radiate it back out again. Yeah.
Mhm. Well, that's it. Yeah, said so beautifully. It's and it is what happens. And one of the things that happens at the conference and this kind of collective energy that happens is also the witnessing of each other. I've probably spoken about every presenter, but you know, people, you listen to other stories, you get to share your story, you are witnessed and validated, and it's so needed, it's so missed in our culture because we're so busy. We don't take the time to really listen, and here's a time to take for yourself, to have the weekend, and feel like you are being listened to. And some people are really shy in a workshop and they may not speak, but they might hear somebody else speak and realize, oh, that's my story too. I can relate to that. I'm not alone. And
right. It
gives them permission to speak it too, if they're wanting to. But regardless, there's that healing process that happens when we share our stories and when we witness other women. I mean, it's a woman of wisdom, so it's for women in our community. And so your avenue of doing this through the Soul Collage will also allow for that witnessing each other as people express themselves, their future self, and being witnessed by everybody else in the workshop and validated, like, yeah, I see that in you. You could be that now. Isn't that exciting?
Right. Yes. I just love it. Witnessing is just so important, isn't it? It is, like you say, it's so validating and it gives us so much permission. And in witnessing each other and ourselves, we really do then have that permission to move forward. We really do. It's beautiful.
So another thing that you have called yourself on your website is a soul tender. So I'd love for you to share what that means to you.
It's a term that came to me when I was asking my guides, like, okay, I know I've been calling myself a coach and there's some confines with that. And so one day I woke up and it was just there, soul tender. And I mulled on it and massaged it and listened and waited and decided I really liked that. You know, I think that term for me is a lot of things, but what it really is using all my skills. So definitely as a life coach, as a creative, a teacher, I'm also a facilitator, I'm a writer, and a mentor to people's souls. So I'm in partnership with people so they can have ways to meet and engage with their soul self. And by soul, I mean that essential part of us that's deeper than personality, beyond cultural expectations or stereotypes, but that guides us every day, even when we might not even realize it. And I don't think our soul is getting enough space in our culture. And I think, truly, I believe with everything in me that in order for our civilization and our planet to survive, our soul has to be nurtured so that it can thrive. It's really about becoming our best selves. And I think it's our moral imperative at this point to be our best selves, every one of us. Not to be perfect, but to embrace, you know, all of who we are, right, in our imperfection, flaws and all, and just to be authentically, genuinely ourselves, a lot of what Brene Brown talks about, you know, and being vulnerable. So, yeah, that's kind of what I have come to in terms of being a soul tender. And a part of that is being witness, is bearing witness to others. And to provide people with creative tools so that they can develop their own inner witness. I think when we can develop our own inner witness, that archetypal witness that's looking at us and what we're doing so that we can respond instead of react, so that we can be intentional instead of moving to our default mode even when it's unhealthy. When that witness is alive, I think that witness supports our authenticity and inspires our intentionality. So, you know, at this point, I really love using creativity with people. You know, not art necessarily, not arts and crafts necessarily. It might even be, you know, just looking outside the box. Or it might be brainstorming. It might just be really looking at something from a 180 perspective. To me, that's a creative act. And whenever we're shifting ourselves and doing something new that's scary or tender or vulnerable, we're being creative. And I think we're born creative, but our culture kind of zaps it out of us and has looked at what creativity is this one thing, and you need to be an artist. I think our life is our art, and when we're creative, then we're living a very artful life.
Mm-hmm. And that creativity can be expressed in many different ways. Whatever is unique to yourself, you might
absolutely.
Not. It may not be creative toward art. It may be creative. Well, I'm creative toward creating events, or you might be creative in all the different. In advertising and marketing,
many
different ways. What's
yes.
unique? What's your gift? And that's one of the things that Woman of Wisdom is discovering your gifts, and being there with yourself. I love that it's so tender. Also, to me, feels like this is a sense of tenderness, like the soul, the higher soul, being tender towards your little soul, a small s, not the capital S. And we're
yes.
so hard on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if we realize there is this higher soul, I'm reading a book by somebody right now, Heather Ashimara, just this higher soul is always there guiding us, and to recognize that. And it has a tenderness for us, you know, and like you're being a tender towards other souls to help them on their journey. But also mm-hmm. we have that within ourselves to help our kind of ego-driven lives, to just be easier on ourselves and to know that everything has a divine purpose, and we can create and attend our life that we want for us. And we're going through these lessons. So when things happen, there's a lesson for us to learn and to be tender towards ourselves on these sometimes harsh lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's so much in that. Yeah. So thank you for that, bringing that
yeah.
forward. So you're also an author and a speaker, and that's, why don't you share about your books?
Yeah, well, I wrote my memoir, A Leg to Stand On, An Amputee's Walk into Motherhood. I had that published 5 years ago. And, you know, I have to say, Chris, that the writing of that book was an incredibly therapeutic process for me, where I got to work through a lot of the challenges of losing my leg and then living life as an amputee. But the publishing of my book and being in connection and communion with people who listen to me read from my book was honestly one of the most powerful things. And you brought this up earlier, I believe, in the witnessing. But when people related to my story, at first I was just shocked. It was like, what? You're not an amputee. How can you relate to my story? But it also verified and validated that I really wrote to universal themes about loss and about being lost in our heart and in our world, but also about forgiveness and acceptance. You know, these universal themes that speak to all of us. So my readers didn't have to be amputees. They were able to resonate with my story anyway. And I think that's the beautiful thing about our stories. And I have a friend who has a writing program, and I'm a writing coach with her, to have people craft their story, be it fiction or nonfiction, is such a powerful tool in owning your past and incorporating that into our future and allowing that to then inform, I mean, incorporating it into our present so that it informs our future. So writing for me is amazingly therapeutic, but also an amazing way to connect with people. Even if I just have an essay in an anthology and read that, it's just such a blessing. And now I'm working on a piece of fiction, which is really challenging. It's a whole new genre for me, so that's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. And it says, sometimes we don't realize what our gift is. Like you're saying, you wrote this book and you didn't realize, kind of, you know, in sharing your story, speaking it, reading it to people, how they could relate to it. And so there's so many gifts in writing and sharing our stories. And we always think that no one would be interested in this story.
Oh my God, that is our biggest gremlin. So many people have that saboteur inside. Yeah. What's the use?
Yes.
Nobody wants to hear it. I don't matter. You know, it took me 5 years to write my story with a coach, because I just had so many inner gremlins every step of the way telling me that it was pointless and just shut up. Nobody cares. But people did care, and I had connection with people, and it was a beautiful thing. So I encourage anyone out there who's interested in writing their story to do so, even if it's just for yourself. But to share it is really the frosting on the cake.
Yeah, we're so self-conscious to share a story, you know, fear of being judged or whatever. And actually, you know, I have always, when I have the little nudge on me, like, okay, you need to say this, someone will always say, oh, I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you shared that. You know, so if a story is even spoken for one person that gets it, needed to hear that message, it's done its work. It doesn't need to be heard by the masses. We don't need to be famous authors, you know.
No.
It'll make the impact wherever it's meant to land, to support whoever picks up that book, picks up, you know, the article in a magazine, whatever, wherever it, you're doing your work. The story's doing its job. And because we all learn, and it isn't the beautiful stories. I remember being at an award thing and a woman said, we have to tell our hardships. We have to tell our struggles, because we don't want people out there, women especially, to think like, oh, look at that person. She's such a leader. She's so perfect. I could never be that. And so if we think that they didn't go through struggles, we don't think that we could also reach that platform.
Absolutely. No, the moving through the struggles is, it's what it's about. Life is full of struggles. And when we can be inspired reading about how other people move through those, it gives us hope, number one, and often inspiration, and that ability to move through it ourselves. I know I've been inspired by lots of people by reading their works, things that, you know, that seem unimaginable to me, and they've done it. And I think of that when I'm in struggle, like, well, somebody else did it. I can do it. We're in this together. We really are in this together. It doesn't always feel like it because we all feel so lost and alone in this world that's so connected. And yet, ironically, we feel so alone. But truly, we are in this together. And I think the more we own that and are purposeful about that by sharing and witnessing and creating together, the happier we're going to be. And the planet, you know, we've got a real responsibility to this planet right now.
Yes, so true. So all the work we're doing is towards that, you know, uniting our world. And we come to, you know, you said it before, you know, we come together, we do our personal work, but we're doing it for also for a higher purpose of healing. As we heal, we also add to the healing of our world, to other people and the earth and all that. It all is part of the work we need to do here. So thank you for contributing to that, your contribution. And I think we've already talked about, you know, the theme. You did mention a little bit about your experience at Woman of Wisdom, but maybe in last words to share your experience of being a presenter, being a participant, how it has impacted you, or how is it different than from other conferences? Because we are unique in that we're very experiential. We don't just sit in a hall and listen to people. It's all very experiential. So I'd love for you to share any thoughts you have on that.
I love the experiential part of it. I think when people can have an experience, it creates something different within them. There's an internal change versus taking something in just auditorily and listening. I love going to the other sessions when I'm at the conference and experiencing. And I tell you, even this last fall, I was going through my notes and looking at some handouts and the things I had written down and plans I had made. And it was like, oh, my God, that happened. And, oh, yeah, I'm on that path. And, oh, I set that intention. And there it is. Again, I think part of it is that the energy is built in such a way at the conference that we're unified, each in our own way, but we're unified as a group, so we're building energy. And then there's all these different sessions we can go to meet our own needs, and we are experiencing something, and we're a part of something. And so it creates this beautiful energy that really has stayed with me after conferences for a long time, where it's like, yeah, I'm a part of something bigger. And even though I don't see those people, I know that I created something with other women, and we're still radiating that out into the world. So it is it's a conference like no other, very truly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
So I'm very
excited
to be there again, and I'm excited to just meet all these great new people and see old faces and friends and create that energy together again.
And the nice thing about it too, you mentioned old friends, but also we make new friends. So there's new and old coming together. And it's not a thing like you come in. We used to be, if you could believe it, 9 days long. And people, they could go to one event or all week. And people would pop in and out all week long. But you never felt like you were an outsider, like you have to work yourself into, you know, find your place, and, you know, you've been out, all these people are, you know, been here all this time, and it's not the case. It's just like you walk in and you're part of it, and so new people are very welcomed, and, you know, we have our meals together, so you're going to be sitting with people, you're going to be meeting people in the workshops, and so, you know, a lot of people, a little scary sometimes to come on your own, but a lot of people come on their own, and there's people there that know each other, and there's people that don't know each other, and we all just blend together, and it's beautiful. So.
You know, and I am a true introvert. I mean, you know, cocktail parties are my nightmare. But when at this conference, I can go sit. It's so easy to go sit and just talk to somebody at this conference, sit and have a meal with them. Everybody's so welcoming and, you know, interested in you. So it is just such a friendly place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, great. So I want to invite people to check out the conference, check out Colleen's workshop on Sunday afternoon. Just go to the website, womanofwisdom.org, look for the 2020 conference, and then there's a link for the schedule. It gives all the information on how to register, all the details. We have a beautiful hotel for people to stay at if you're coming from out of town. It's right across the street from the venue. It's at UW Tower. And you can register for all day Saturday, which includes our banquet, our lunch and our banquet, evening banquet, and with Jean Shinoda Bolen giving the keynote after the banquet. And then, or you can register for Sunday only. That's, you know, so you don't have to go all weekend if you're not available. Or you can buy a two-day pass and just really indulge yourself. And we also have a concert with Wendy Rule on Friday night. It's a separate ticket, and that is also open to men. And Wendy Rule is fabulous. She's been at the conference two other times. She's an amazing singer. And that's something not to miss. So check it all out at womanofwisdom.org. And also, you can go to Colleen's website at colleenhaggerty.com and find out more about the work that she does. So thank you for being on the show today, Colleen.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris.
Yes, I look forward to seeing you in a little over 2 weeks. It's going to happen very soon.
Okay,
yeah. Bye. I'll be back again on Thursday and Friday with more interviews with WOW presenters. So stay tuned.